So shouldn't bhakti be like an evolutionary process where we evolve towards attraction to Krishna rather than it being impositionary where we are told in a book that he is God and we are meant to love him?
I mean, he's the supreme God.
He's the supreme God, yeah.
My God will be supreme for me. Someone else's God would be supreme for him. So,
yeah. Bhakti is definitely an evolutionary process. And the evolution is both in understanding the object of devotion as well as in enhancing our own attraction to that object. So, both. There is evolution in that. Now, God is not just an object of devotion. God is also a reality, in fact, the supreme reality, who has his self-existence independent of us. So, if the sun is the brightest celestial object in the day, it is the brightest celestial object whether I like it or I don't like it. So, like that, when we consider a God, often we think of a particular image and we think this is God. That is true at one level, but then before we can understand God as a depiction, it is good to understand God as a definition. So definition means that we said that God is the source, the cause of all causes, the source of everything. And that means that whatever exists comes from Him, sarva karana karana. And that cause of everything cannot be many. It has to be one. Because, okay, if there are many, then we have to say, where did they come from and what is the cause of all of them? Now, how do I know about God? So, first is the definition of God. We understand there has to be one supreme. Now, where do I know about that God from? Shastra Yonitva. We have to know from scripture. Because just as physics knowledge, we get from physics textbooks. Just as mathematics knowledge, you get from mathematics textbooks. So like that, we learn from each of these. So, there is a reality independent of our conception, and that reality is understood through scripture. So now, scripture also gives us reasoning about why Krishna is God. And the Bhagavad Gita gives us actually, how do you talk about evolution? Exactly that concept. If you read 7.20 to 23, those four verses in the Gita, Krishna, if you consider Krishna doesn't say that he hates the other gods or he looks down upon the other gods. He says it's a progression that if you can't worship me, you worship the other gods. By that also you will get elevated. And he gives the other devatas the powers to give blessings. And if somebody wants to worship some other devata, Krishna says, Yo yam yam dhanu bhakta shaddayachitum ichyati tasya tasya achalam shaddham tameva vidhamyam. Krishna says, I give you them the faith by which they come to me. That means Krishna is here, there's some devata over here, there's a worshipper over here. Krishna gives the power to devata to give the blessing. Krishna gives the worshipper the faith to worship the devata. So in that sense, Krishna is not only acknowledging the existence of other gods, but he's also facilitating their worship. So, if we have a specific attraction to a specific devata, a specific form, then we can worship that form, and along with that, we can pray, please help me to understand what is the highest reality, what is the highest truth.
Why do I need to know?
Yeah.
So I don't need anything.
Yeah, just.
I just want to offer namaskar to you and then leave.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Take care. Yeah. So, see, love, for us, our Lord is whomever we love, it's wonderful. At the same time, the love, there are different results of loving different things. Now suppose, say, in a marital relationship, if a woman falls in love with a man who is abusive, her life can become hellish. And a woman falls in love with a man who is good, her life is much happier. So, the object of love also matters. But devatas are also exalted people. At the same time, the Gita is clear in describing that the devatas are not eternal. It is Krishna who is eternal. So therefore, what happens by that is that if we don't love the eternal, we can't attain the eternal. If we practice dharma and we love the temporary, something higher, something dharmic also, it will attain the temporary, we won't attain the eternal. So we have been given the intelligence by which we can recognize that which is eternal and direct our love towards eternal. So in bhakti yoga, there is a balance between attraction and cultivation. Attraction means that is feeling, but the feeling is already there. Cultivation means what I try to conscientiously develop. So, with our intelligence, we understand the philosophy, we understand who is Krishna, and the more we come to know about him, the more we love him. So, normally we think about, so people say, I fell in love. It is as if love is something that happens to us. It can happen like that, but what happens after that? You know, after that, the relationship has to be cultivated. When somebody says, I fall in love, but if that is to be continued lifelong, it has to be cultivated steadily. So, even in a loving relationship, there has to be cultivation. The same way, in our process of sadhana bhakti, the focus is primarily on cultivation. And through the cultivation, so over a period of time, that attraction will become more and more deep-rooted. So, you don't have to see that cultivation as an imposition. That cultivation is also a choice. So, you use your intelligence to understand how and why the Bhagavad Gita takes Krishna as God. And after you understand that, then you cultivate the process of bhakti. And the evolution will be in both in your understanding and in your devotion. And as I said, if you are feeling it's an imposition, then what you could do is you can try to introspect to find what aspect is appearing like an imposition. Is it that, like you said, you don't like, you feel that something that too standardized, you know, you have to do like this, you have to do like that. So if that is the case, in bhakti there is some amount of standardization, but there is also a lot of room for individuality. So for example, when we sing kirtans, so we sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but there are so many different tunes in which we can sing, so many different ways different devotees can sing. So in that sense, there is room for individuality. So if you are feeling a particular hesitation towards a particular kind of standardization, you can keep that in a state of suspended judgment right now and focus on where you can do individualization and cultivate your relationship with Krishna. Over a period of time, see, if you by your actions show Krishna that you want to come closer to him, then he will help you to find your way around the obstacles, whatever obstacles are there. So don't think that is going to block you, but rather you try to find a way ahead. It's like a river always keeps trying to move towards the ocean. From if there's some stone in between, it goes under, it goes above, it goes right, it goes left. You try to find some way to keep moving towards Krishna, and eventually he will guide you. Krishna said, "Dadami buddhi yogam tam ye namah upayanti." So I'll give you the intelligence, where you can come to me. Okay? Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I think I was in a hurry.